Ma chère mademoiselle, it is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight. And now, we invite you to relax, just pull up a chair, as the dining room proudly presents...
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast with a fringe on top. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Liz, Biz Banana Grabber, Rocher.
You're about to make a huge mistake.
Will, Crazed Spruce Hutchings.
You two may as well just make like a tree and get out of here.
And Julia, Mighty Mighty Fausti.
You're going down.
Hello to everybody, and thank you for joining us today for the second elimination match of the Long Division. Making sure all those trivia trains run on time is going to be Score Master Dan. Hey, Dan.
Hi there, Taylor. It's a special day. As we record, today is Jack Benny's 39th birthday, so celebrate with some Jell-O. That reference is there to be appreciated by me and that critical 93 and over demographic that the advertisers are always clamoring for.
And also helping us out today is Production Master Dave. Hey, Dave. Well, I don't know what to say, right, meow? So it's time to go into our first game of My Champion. That's the game where each of our players has chosen a champion from somewhere in the world of pop culture, and we choose the battle that those champions are fighting. Liz, who have you picked today?
I have chosen world-famous drag queen Trixie Mattel.
Will, who have you got?
I've chosen The Tick.
And Julia.
I've got Velma.
Three fantastic champions locked in. Production Master Dave is going to serve as our judge today. So without further ado, let's spin that scenario wheel. Today's scenario... Which champion would be coolest under pressure when snipping the correct bomb wire with 1 second to go? Liz, why is Trixie Mattel going to be cool under pressure when defusing a bomb?
Well, it's no secret that Trixie does not have any bomb defusing knowledge, but she has been on RuPaul's Drag Race, which is a pressure cooker of insanity. Trixie knows how to throw together a dress in using just garbage. She knows how to walk the runway. She knows how to make her makeup stay in the most, with lots of lights, incredible pressure. There's no way that Trixie would not look perfect in her outfit, in her heels, when she's trying to defuse a bomb. She'd be perfect at it.
Will, make the case for The Tick.
Oh, The Tick would just pull all the wires, stand there right in the middle of the explosion with a stupid grin on his face.
And Julia, how about Velma from Scooby-Doo?
I think it's obvious that Velma would be the one to correctly and most efficiently cut the wires that need to be cut to defuse the bomb. After all, she's worked around completely useless teammates for quite some time. The only catch is we got to make sure her glasses don't fall off her face.
Three fantastic arguments all around, but Production Master Dave is going to be the one to determine the winner.
Well, special points for Will for just telling the truth that The Tick would just blow up the bomb. I mean, that's not the challenge, and we're worried about collateral damage, but he knows that character, and he is absolutely correct. That is what would happen. So we're down to Velma and Trixie, and I would love to give Trixie the nod here for, if nothing else, that I really missed the Trixie and Katya show, but... Julia's got it. It's got to be Velma. And she addressed my one sticking point, which is, what if the glasses aren't on her head? She knew that scenario was coming down the pike. She put those glasses on her face. So it's obviously Velma. Cool under pressure. This, my champion, goes to Julia.
Congratulations, Julia.
Woo.
That means you get a crack at the half point. Answer this question correctly, and you'll have half a point more than your fellow contestants. Speaking of bombs, which Johnny Depp movie lost Disney something in the neighborhood of $200 million?
Is it Crybaby?
No, that's going to be the 2013 version of The Lone Ranger. After all the marketing costs told, huge, huge loss for Disney. So no half point for Julia, but you still get to go first in round one, save the cat. In screenwriting, a save the cat moment is when a hero shows that they're the good guy and gives the audience a chance to root for them. To make it fresh, though, movies have to find some creative ways to subvert those save the cat moments, and in this game, we'll be asking you about some of the creative ways they've done so. For instance, if we told you that in this movie, the heroine saves a big kitty from a witch, even if she doesn't wind up getting him the courage he was looking for, you'd know that the movie in question was...
The Wizard of Oz.
The Wizard of Oz, absolutely. That would get you 10 points. If you need a hint, I can tell you the director of the movie and the year it was released, but then a correct answer is only worth 5. Julia, our My Champion winner, you're going to get the first Save the Cat moment. Our hero not only fails to save a royal kitty, but blames himself for the death for years afterwards. What movie is that?
I'm going to need a hint.
Directed by Rob Minkoff and Roger Allers in 1994, or Jon Favreau in 2019.
Oh, I'm just frozen. Pass.
That's going to be The Lion King, where Mufasa is the cat who was not saved. Next up, for Liz, we think one sad kitty gets saved by going up in a balloon and being reborn or something, but it's hard to tell if you don't know what a Jellicle is.
Is that cats?
Straight up cats for 10 points.
That feels like a cheat question.
For Will, we already knew she was the hero, but bringing the cat into the escape pod after defeating the creepy monster really cemented it.
Alien?
Yes, when Ripley saves Jones the cat at the end of Alien. For Julia, our heroine actually beats the tar out of a big ol' kitty cat person at the end of this recent superhero sequel.
I'm gonna need the hint.
Directed by Patty Jenkins from the year 2020.
So is it Wonder Woman 1984?
Yes, with Kristen Wiig as the cheetah. For Liz, the producers figured that audiences would have trouble with a blue-collar demon as the hero of a movie, so they gave him kittens to save from a monster right at the start of the first of his movies.
My gosh, I have no clue. I'll take the hint.
Directed by Guillermo del Toro in 2004.
Nope, I got nothing.
I know it.
Will?
Hellboy.
Yes, Hellboy, with his penchant for little kitties. Will, this next one's for you. Technically, bringing a cat back to life via a cursed cemetery is saving it, but that's not what most people are thinking of when they think save the cat.
Pet Cemetery.
For 10 points, Pet Cemetery.
Didn't see the movie, but I read the book, so.
Gets the job done. Next up for Julia, this whole movie is an exercise in having comedians save an adorable kitty from some bad guys.
I'm going to need the hint.
Directed by Peter Atencio in the year 2016.
Yeah, I got nothing.
That is the Key and Peele movie Keanu, about that cute little kitty. Next up for Liz. I guess the cat saves the day by cleaning up everything in this misbegotten adaptation of a classic kids book, but given that he's the one that messed it up in the first place, that's a small consolation.
Terrible movie. Is this The Cat in the Hat?
Mike Myers as the Cat in the Hat.
Unwatchable.
And for Will, in this one, the cat saves the girl, as the cat's the only one who seems to really understand the evil mirror universe thing.
Okay, I kind of have the hint.
Directed by Henry Selick from 2009.
2009, mirror universe. Cat save the woman. I got nothing.
That's Keith David voicing the cat in Coraline.
I really need to watch that movie one of these days.
It rules. It's one of my favorites. And that will take us into our first score break from Scoremaster Dan.
Most of the way through round one, Will and Liz are tied for first with 20 points each. Julie's been having a rough go so far. She's only got 5, but she's got plenty of time to catch up.
Absolutely. And here's her next chance to get on the board, Julia. In this movie, we get a rare reverse save the cat. We know that Willem Dafoe is a bad guy when he tosses a cat out the window.
I'm going to need the hint.
Directed by Wes Anderson from 2014.
Guys, I'm totally dry here. I don't know what's going on. But no, I don't know what this cat movie is.
It's a small moment in The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yeah, well, really, you know Willem Dafoe's the villain because he's played by Willem Dafoe. So.
Also that. All right, for Liz, the kitty in this spoof is saved from death by being put into cryo suspension with their owner, which is better than dying of old age, I guess.
I have an inkling. I'll take the hint.
Directed by Jay Roach from 1997.
Is this Austin Powers?
Nice job. And for Will, according to some theories, the kitty carried around the city by the title character actually is the title character himself, in a mystical sense. We later find out that he actually carried around two different cats, one of which he decidedly did not save.
No, I'm going to need the hint.
Directed by the Coen brothers from 2013.
Coen brothers, 2013. Llewellyn Davis. No.
We started to hear a little bit of it. That is Inside Llewellyn Davis with Ulysses the Orange Tabby. One more altered save the cat scenario for each of our players. Julia, in this one, the cat saves our hero, perhaps unintentionally, by walking past him and then doing the same thing again.
Okay, give me the hint.
Directed by the Wachowskis from 1999.
I'm going to guess it's The Matrix.
Yes, when you see the same thing twice, that's deja vu, a glitch in The Matrix. For Liz, the cat in this children's classic saves the day by virtue of being a bus as well as a cat.
A cat that's a bus. There's nothing familiar in there, other than the words themselves, so I'll take the hint.
Directed by Hayao Miyazaki from 1988.
And this is where I admit I've seen very little Miyazaki, because I don't know.
I think I know it.
Well,
is that My Neighbor Totoro?
Correct. The cat bus coming in at the end.
I can hear the listeners booing me.
All right, Will's going to close out round one. This one breaks all the rules. I get that he's a Jesus analog, but the kitty gets straight up killed in this one, though he does get better because, you know, Jesus analog.
Well, he already did The Matrix, so... Yeah, I'm going to need a hint on this one.
Directed by Andrew Adamson from 2005.
No, I got nothing.
That kitty is Aslan the Lion from the Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Oh, yeah.
Up next, the scores from Dan, and on to round two.
Going to round two, it's time for the original writer score break. The original writer. Because if you say it's Alan Moore, he'll sick a snake god or something on you. At this point, Liz is in the lead with 25 points. Will is close behind with 20. Julia is trailing with just 10. But that means she'll get to go first in round two.
Thanks, Dan. And Julia's going to get a little chance to catch up with... The Threequalizer. Julia, I'm about to read you a question that has three possible answers. You get three guesses to match as many as you can, 10 points for each answer you match. Your Threequalizer question is... Since Men in Black, Will Smith has done over-the-credits rap songs for three live-action movies, none of which are particularly good. What are they?
Wild Wild West. So he's in... So the first one he rapped over the end. So then did he rap over Men in Black 2? And I'm going to just, because I have no other guesses, say maybe Men in Black 3?
I like that guess, but the third one is pretty recent. It's the 2019 Aladdin, where he was the genie. Still 20 points for Julia. Now, before we get any deeper into round two, let's check in with our players. Liz, how's the game going for you so far?
I am enjoying myself very much. Thank you, Taylor.
You know, we've been talking about a lot of movies today. Is there any particular movie that you wish you could just erase your memory of seeing it just so you could go back and experience it for the first time?
Yes, that would be Popstar, Never Stop, Never Stopping. I didn't know a movie like that was allowed to be made. It really, watching it, it felt like it was made for me. Every joke, every minute. It's so wonderfully self-aware. It's a wonder. If you haven't seen it, everyone should watch it. It should be a law.
Absolutely agree here. And Will, in terms of movies that you think everyone should maybe appreciate a little bit more, what's your hottest movie take in popular culture?
Okay, my hottest take is the Green Lantern movie is actually pretty good.
And Julia, we're here well into 2021 at this point, but we still want to know, do you have any like sort of resolutions or pop culture goals for this year?
Well, since I spent so much of 2020 just trying to find a comfortable and comfortable space, I just reread a lot of things and rewatched a lot of things and dug around for old cassette tapes practically. So this year I'm hoping to try to stay a little more current. And my big goal is to read a new release book every month this year.
An absolutely noble pursuit. Thank you, Julia. And that'll take us right into round two, which today is entitled Tricky Title Tracks. You know, it used to be every good movie, and even some bad ones, featured songs with the same name as the movie. In this game, we're going to ask you to name the movie from some lyrics to the eponymous song, and the faster you get it, the more points you earn. For example, if I told you that this was a 1984 movie and the lyrics were I ain't afraid of, you'd know that that movie was
Ghostbusters.
If you somehow got it after just the word I, you'd earn 40 points, but you'll get 10 less points for each additional lyric you receive. And for this game, you can get a guess at every point level. After we know what the song is, for 10 more points, you can tell me that the singer was Ray Parker Jr. for 10 more. We're going to start off with Julia with a movie title song from the year 1971 with the word cat.
Go ahead.
Cat that won't.
Oh, keep going.
Cat that won't cop.
Is it Shaft?
For 20 points, Shaft. And who performed that title song from Shaft, Julia?
Is it Isaac Hayes?
Correct for 10 more. Nice job. Next for Will, we've got a song from 1997 with the word good.
Goodwill Hunting?
I love that answer. Good Guys.
Good Guys. Bad Boys?
Good Guys Dress In.
Yeah, it's not White Chicks, is it?
Good Guys Dress in Black.
Oh, Men in Black?
And who performed that song?
Will Smith.
From our three equalizer, Will Smith. Next up for Liz, we've got a title song from 1952 with the word glorious.
Give me more.
Glorious Feeling.
One more.
Glorious Feeling, I'm Happy.
Is this Oklahoma?
Glorious Feeling, I'm Happy Again.
It's right there. No. Oh, no.
An answer.
No.
Julia's nodding like she knows this one.
I think it's Singing in the Rain, right?
No.
Correct.
I'm Singing so sorry. In the Rain. I watched that like a week ago.
Oh, no.
Oh.
But Liz, you do get to answer who performs that song in the movie.
That would be Gene Kelly.
For 10 points, Gene Kelly.
At least I got that.
Coming back to Julia, we've got a title song from the year 1964 with the word Midas.
Is it Goldfinger?
First 40-point answer for Julia. Who performs that song in the beginning of that movie?
Is it Shirley Bassey?
Another 10 for Julia.
I'm really old.
It's working for you this round.
You just know good stuff is what you know.
All right, Will, from the year 1980 with the word learn.
Learn. Learn. I'm gonna have, yeah.
Learn how to.
Learn how to. Oh, it's like on the tip of my tongue, but I'm going to need another one.
Learn how to fly.
Learn how to fly. Oh, Space. No, Space Jam's not from 1980. Space Jam.
Learn how to fly high.
Yeah, as opposed to learn how to fly low. 1980. Learn how to fly. Superman? Huh?
That's the title song from Fame. I'm gonna learn how to fly. But who sings that title song for Fame, Will?
Tip of my tongue. I don't know.
That's gonna be Irene Cara singing Fame. Next up for Liz, also from the year 1980, with the word poor.
Nope, let's keep going.
Poor myself.
More, let's do it again.
Pour myself a cup.
Nope.
Pour myself a cup of ambition.
The only thing that's on my mind right now is 9 to 5.
For 10 points, 9 to 5.
Yeah.
And who performed that song for 9 to 5?
The lady Dolly Parton.
And that's going to take us into our next score break from Scoremaster Dan.
Halfway through round two, Will is now in third place. He's only got 40 points. Liz has pulled a little bit ahead. She has 55. But in a commanding lead, we have Julia. She has 110 points. Great job, Julia. If you guys aren't careful, she's going to run away with this thing.
Just keep those movies coming from the 50s.
All right, Julia, see if you can make that lead even bigger with this title song from the year 1984 with the word tonight.
Give me another word.
Tonight, I gotta.
Go ahead.
Tonight, I gotta cut.
And another one.
Tonight, I gotta cut loose.
Oh, it's Footloose.
Footloose is correct. And who performed that title song for Footloose, Julia?
Oh, see, and I should totally know this. I know who it's not.
Who is it not?
I don't think it's Huey Lewis. I think
Well, you're correct. No points, but technically correct.
Yes, who are four men that have never been in my kitchen, right?
Yes.
There you go. Yes.
No, that's one of the kings of 80s movie songs. That is Kenny Loggins.
Mr. Danger Zone.
All right, for Will, we're going to the year 1996 with the lyric, Try.
Try. No. Need another one.
Try and try.
No.
Try and try to forget.
Man, I am whiffing this round, aren't I? Yeah.
Try and try to forget you, girl.
No.
Try and try to forget you, girl, but it's just so hard to do. Every time you do... That thing you do. But who performs That Thing You Do for the movie? We will also take the songwriter.
The Wonders.
Yes, the fictional band, but written by the late Adam Schlesinger of Fountains of Wayne.
Mm.
Next up for Liz from the year 1984 with the word see.
Let's keep going.
See you.
Nope.
See you underneath.
I'm whiffing on this bad.
See you underneath the purple.
I have no idea. 1984? Maybe a movie about a color? I don't have anything.
Only want to see you underneath the purple rain. Purple rain.
Oh. Throw me in a trash can.
Still a transfer 10 points. Who wrote and performed Purple Rain for that movie?
That would be Prince. I recently covered the Super Bowl and made a big production about how Prince singing Purple Rain in the rain in 2007 was the best halftime show ever. Seriously, just threw
Without
me away.
A doubt, absolutely the best.
As a Chicagoan, one of the worst Super Bowl games ever, but fantastic halftime show, absolutely.
My apologies.
Yeah, we got what we deserved. For Julia, going to the year 1991 with the word tale.
Keep going.
Tale as old.
Oh, this is Beauty and the Beast.
As the dining room proudly presents your dinner.
That is correct. And who performs the song Beauty and the Beast in that movie?
Is it only Angela Lansbury?
We'll accept that, or the Celine Dion version that plays over the credits. Either is great. Next up for Will, from the year 1983, with the word what?
83, what? Don't know.
What a feeling.
Flashdance.
Yes, Flashdance, dot, 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 what a feeling. And who performed that title song from Flashdance, Will?
Is that Irene Cara again?
We didn't trick you there. Doubles for Irene Cara for Will. Nice job. Closing out round two for Liz, we've got a movie from 1974 whose title song contains the word when.
Let's keep going.
When Outlaws.
Outlaws. Nope.
When Outlaws Rule the.
When Outlaws. Mm-mm. Let's hear more words.
When Outlaws Rule the West.
Yeah, that wasn't going to help. Chariots of Fire. I don't know.
I think I know. Is that Blazing Saddles?
A movie I watched last weekend.
You're just 1 week off on all of these lists.
Having a great time, everybody. Thanks for coming.
But who performed that title song in the movie Blazing Saddles?
I don't know. It is an Old West singer guy who wasn't told about the movie before he did it.
That is Frankie Lane. You got the trivia, but not the name.
Yep.
And that'll close out round two. Up next, one more score update from Dan and on to the final round. Before we get to the final round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly guess the answer to this pop culture riddle that Dan's about to read by next week's episode, and you can win a chance to name a score break in a future episode of the show.
In this L.A. noir, the squad rides four to a car, broke into an Air Force base to chase an atom bomb case. Though the reasoning sound, few clues can be found when sources keep getting tossed to the ground.
Got an answer in mind? Find the page for this episode at usaquizshow.com or check the link in your show notes and show off that pop culture knowledge. Thanks for the riddle, Dan. Let's hear a score update.
Absolutely. Going into round three, it's time for the Douglas Hofstadter score break. The Douglas Hofstadter score break is complete and consistent and therefore cannot exclude paradoxes. Right now, Julia has a commanding lead with 160 points, Will has 90, and Liz is trailing with just 65. That means she'll need to get 10 questions correct in her category in order to take the lead. Now, Liz, that's a tall order, but our record for in-season games is 13, so it is well within your capacities. We know you can do it. We're pulling for you. Good luck.
The category is things you watched last week.
If only.
Still anybody's game as we head into the lightning round. In the lightning round, players have their choice of categories and then have 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are When Carrie Wrote Her Diaries, Left of the Dial, The Pig and the Frog, and Prince in April, Princess in December. Now, those topics might not be 100% clear as to what they're about from their names alone, but do your best to pick something you're going to do well on, or pick something easy that you want to keep away from one of your fellow contestants. Liz, in third place, you get to choose first. Which of these four categories would you like? Once again, they are When Carrie Wrote Her Diaries, Left of the Dial, The Pig and the Frog, and Prince in April, Princess in December.
I think I'll take The Pig and the Frog.
Any guesses as to what this category is?
I'm hoping it's Muppets.
It is absolutely Muppet related. The puppeteers behind Miss Piggy and Kermit the Frog were Frank Oz and Jim Henson. So this will be about the careers, both separately and together, of Frank Oz and Jim Henson.
All right.
90 seconds on the clock. Liz, are you ready?
As I'm going to be. Let's do it.
Henson created this Muppet for a Purina Dog Chow commercial.
Rolf.
This Oz and Henson duo share names with characters in It's a Wonderful Life.
Bert and Ernie.
Henson and Oz co-directed this 1982 fantasy film, later rebooted for Netflix.
Labyrinth?
The Dark Crystal. Frank Oz directed this magician's stage show and special, In and of Itself.
Oh, pass.
This future Oscar winner played Sarah in Henson's Labyrinth.
Jennifer Connelly.
Frank Oz appeared in Knives Out after working with Rian Johnson on this movie.
Pass.
This Muppet movie was Jim Henson's feature directorial debut.
The Muppet Movie? No.
The Great Muppet Caper. This is the last movie in which Frank Oz puppeteered Miss Piggy.
The Muppet Christmas Carol?
A TV special promoting this Disney World attraction is Henson's last screen credit.
Pass.
Frank Oz's puppetry experience contributed to this character in Little Shop of Horrors.
Audrey 2.
This Henson series was rebooted as a series of shorts by Apple TV Plus in 2020.
Pass.
In 2004, Frank Oz directed a remake of this 1975 horror satire.
Death at a Funeral is not the right answer.
Now, that was the next one. This was The Stepford Wives. All right, Dan, let's hear the Liz report.
First, let's go over the passes. I'm actually a little surprised that Liz did not watch the Derek Del Gaudio special In and of Itself on Hulu last week. That would have been very much in character. Rian Johnson worked with Frank Oz on Star Wars The Last Jedi. The Disney World attraction is Muppet Vision 3D, which is still the best thing at Disney World, if you ask me. And the Henson series is rebooted as a series of shorts by Apple TV in 2020 is Fraggle Rock. Liz did pretty well, but she only got 5 questions correct, meaning she winds up with 115 points and has fallen shy of the lead. Next up is Will. He's going to need to get 7 questions correct in order to tie and 8 questions correct in order to take the lead away from Julia.
All right, Will, your remaining category choices are When Carrie Wrote Her Diaries, Left of the Dial, and Prince in April, Princess in December.
Not looking forward to any of those, but I'm going to go with When Carrie Wrote Her Diary.
Any guesses as to what this category is going to be?
I'm guessing pop culture from the 80s, because that's when the Carrie Diaries was set.
You're absolutely in the right vein, but we're actually talking about the debut of the Carrie Diaries on television. So this round is all about TV shows that debuted in the year 2013.
Slightly better.
90 seconds on the clock. Will, are you ready?
About as ready as I can be, I suppose.
Right. That's the spirit, Will.
This Fox workplace comedy will eventually move to NBC.
Pass.
He stars as the title character on Hannibal.
Mads Mikkelsen.
James Spader plays a criminal who loves fancy hats on this NBC show.
Blacklist.
Cillian Murphy leads a violent gang in this British period drama.
Peaky Blinders.
This X-Files and American Gods actor is a Belfast police officer on The Fall.
Pass.
Jonathan Rhys-Meyers is an immortal upstart energy mogul on this show.
Dracula.
She stars as real-life scientist Virginia Johnson on Masters of Sex.
Pass.
Clark Gregg spun off his Avengers character for this ABC show.
Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Brian K. Vaughan heads up this Stephen King adaptation about people trapped in a town.
Under the Dome.
This former Doctor Who star is a sad investigator in Broadchurch.
David Tennant.
Anthony Bourdain, Parts Unknown, premiered on this channel.
CNN.
Justin Roiland voices this animated duo.
Rick and Morty.
This show is better received when it focuses less on Piper Chapman.
Ooh.
Orange is the New Black at the end there. All right, Dan, let's hear the Will report.
All right, Will had a very good round. Let's go over the passes first. The Fox workplace comedy that eventually moved to NBC is Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh.
It is Gillian Anderson who stars in The Fall. And Lizzie Kaplan is real-life scientist Virginia Johnson on Masters of Sex. Will had a very good round. As I said, he got 9 correct answers. That means he now has 180 points, and Will has the lead. Julie is up next. She's going to need 2 correct answers to force a tie and 3 correct answers in order to take the victory.
Pretty sure you got this one.
Julie, I believe in you.
You took the 2 good categories.
All right, Julia, your final choices are Left of the Dial and Prince in April, Princess in December.
You know, these are both so cryptic. I'm going to go with Left of the Dial, hoping that, I don't know, maybe it's about something on the radio, but we'll see.
Left of the Dial is a song by The Replacements, as well as the name of a box set of 80s college rock, post-punk, and proto-indie rock. So we'll be asking you about bands from that movement featured on that box set.
Oh, this is going to be ugly, guys.
90 seconds on the clock. Julia, are you ready?
Sure.
This band's 1983 debut album, Murmur, was named Album of the Year by Rolling Stone.
Pass.
This San Francisco band was fronted by the enigmatic Jello Biafra.
Pass.
Johnny Rotten founded Public Image Limited after his time in this seminal punk group.
Pass.
Zooey Deschanel sings There Is a Light That Never Goes Out by this band in 500 Days of Summer.
Pass.
Before The Style Council, Paul Weller fronted this Town Called Malice band.
I have no idea.
This band was formed in the wake of the suicide of Joy Division's Ian Curtis.
Pass.
This English vocalist fronted The Banshees.
Pass.
This debut single from Kate Bush shares its title with an Emily Bronte novel.
Wuthering Heights?
Sonic Youth bassist Kim Gordon appears on a 2009 episode of this CW series.
Pass.
Martin Gore continued this band after the departure of Vince Clark.
Pass.
XTC is making plans for this boy.
Oh, pass.
This Minnesota band released the double concept album Zen Arcade.
Who's gonna do?
Annette Bening turns off this band in favor of Talking Heads in 20th Century Women.
Pass.
That's gonna be Black Flag at the buzzer. All right, Dan, let's hear the Julia report.
Just give me a second. I'm gonna have to get some water first to go forward with all these passes. Julia, congratulations. I think that is our new record for the most passes in one round. So let's go through it.
But no wrong answers.
No wrong answers at all. So that's also probably a record. It was R.E.M.'s debut album, Murmur, in 1983. That was Album of the Year from Rolling Stone. The San Francisco band fronted by Jello Biafra was The Dead Kennedys. Johnny Rotten founded Public Image Limited after his time in The Sex Pistols. Zooey Deschanel sings a song from The Smiths in 500 Days of Summer. Peter Weller fronted The Jam.
Paul Weller. Peter Weller's RoboCop.
See, that's what I was thinking in my head. I'm like, boy, that sounds like RoboCop's name. But
all right, let's take that again. And Dan, your move, yep. Creep.
Okay, first off, Peter Weller, more importantly, was also Buckaroo Banzai, who was the head of a band. So that
all right, you better hurry up or there will be trouble.
For the Style Council, Paul Weller fronted The Jam. The New Order, founded in the wake of the suicide of Joy Division's Ian Curtis. Susie Sue was the vocalist for The Banshees. Sonic Youth bassist Kim Gordon was on an episode of Gossip Girl in 2009. Martin Gore continued Depeche Mode after the departure of Vince Clark, and XTC is making plans for Nigel. You might remember at the top, I said that Julia needed to get two answers to force a tie and three answers to take the win. She had two correct answers. We've got a tie. Time to go into the tiebreaker round.
Here on the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, our tiebreakers are known as the VIP round, aka the very important potato. It's a hot potato game where I'm going to name a category of something, and our two remaining contestants will alternate naming things in that category. First person to either be stumped or name a wrong answer will be the loser, and the other person will be declared the winner. Today's category is films that were adapted in whole or part from Stephen King stories.
Shining.
It.
Pet Sematary.
Carrie.
Thinner.
Misery.
Christine.
Cujo.
Returns? Oh.
Well, I think what you were looking for was It Chapter 2, the 2019 sequel. But after that buzz, Dan, let's hear the final result.
That means after the tiebreaker, our winner is Julia!
Woo! Yay, Julia! Congratulations! And Julia, as a reward for your come from behind, back, and then behind victory, we're going to give you the rest of the questions from that lightning round you met.
Pass.
I'm not that mean. But congratulations nonetheless, Julia, though that does mean this is the end of their time on the show for Will and Liz. Guys, such a good game. Love when it's close at the end. A real, real pleasure. Thank you again for being here. In the meantime, Will, is there anything you would like to plug, any place you'd like to direct our listeners to see or hear more of you?
I'm on Twitter at the Crazed Spruce, and yeah, that's about it.
And Liz, anything from you?
First, I want to say that in an alternate universe somewhere, I am killing it at that hot potato. I grew up in Stephen King's hometown. Mm. You can find me, I'm a writer over at Yahoo Sports. You can find me and my work 5 days a week at sports.yahoo.com. And you can also listen to me talk about baseball and Philadelphia baseball specifically on the podcast Hidden Season and Continued Success.
Fantastic. But again, we want to throw congratulations to Julia. Julia, you're moving on to the long division finals. In the meantime, before you get there, since the competition's going to be a little bit steeper, what are you going to watch? Maybe fill in some culp. In the meantime.
Yeah, what's it going to be, Julia?
I don't know.
Are there any particular
maybe.
Pop culture blind spots you want to fill in the meantime?
Possibly alternative music.
Hey, we laugh, but look who's on top.
I mean, honestly, you could just never listen to it again. You did well.
Yeah.
Anything you'd like to plug, Julia?
Well, I guess you can find me on Twitter at SDFiffy, P-F-E-I-F-F-Y, but that's about it.
Fantastic. And listeners, you can also follow Julia as the Bricks emoji as she soldiers on through the Season 3 bracket. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Listeners, be sure to join us next week for the third elimination match in the Cellular Division. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. Hey there, listeners. Remember Dan's pop culture riddle from before the lightning round? If you think you know that answer, find the link in your show notes or find the page for this episode on our website, usaquizshow.com. While you're there, check out all our past episodes, season brackets, and archives, and then also maybe think about joining our Patreon page. We've got all sorts of fun bonus content to play even more.
And as long as you're online, why don't you mosey on over to our Instagram and Twitter feeds. We're at USA Quiz Show on both.
The Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show is produced with love by our host, Paul Weller. I obviously can't get this joke out of the door. The Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show is made with love by our host. Hey, he's just Taylor Cole. Our quizmaster and scoremaster is Dan Cassino, and me, your host, David T. Cole.
Don't forget to hit subscribe, and your move, creep. It's a hot potato game where I'm going to name a category of something, and our characters were... Characters? Jesus Christ.